7:30, go to the bathroom, not come back, not dose till 7:38. And then I drink coffee and read and make decisions and talk on the phone, and everything was 10:30, 11 when I had my first appointment. And I tried to take a nap in the afternoon, but I haven't made it in a week now. I just been let you go and I'll go on and go to bed. I don't know what happened to him. I'll tell him to call you though as soon as I locate him. He's probably with Dick trying to get this stuff on a mimeograph. I told him to go edit it a little bit because he edits better than anybody else. I imagine he's trying to cut some of it out.
Okay.
Present the new outfit of John Conley. At the same time, headed Lady Bird's official list of employees. This is the Conley who has been pre-war secretary to Reverend Johnson, who will serve as secretary to Senator Johnson, who will be manager of the presidential bid in 60, who now is governor of London's home state, who will be a co-nominator of Mr. Johnson, the president. He started out subscribing to half the new station stock for $25,000, all of it borrowed from Capital National, where Ed Clark was a stockholder. Even then, Mr. Clark became another key vehicle founder himself. Another who lived in Lyndon's house and worked as sales representative was Willard Deason. He had been Lyndon's college roommate. He started as a stockholder. The other college chum, Jesse Killam, served as Kivet director. Two more Kivet employees, W. Sires and sales reverend Jake Pickle, the latter now sits in Lyndon's old seat in Congress. Another resident, Walter Jenkins, veteran administrative aide. The Capitol Hill and White House was an early stockholder. Served briefly as Secretary of Treasury. Not till 53 he became Lady Bird's corporate treasurer. Among others who helped to found or build the radio station was to compete with the Johnson Company, Melvin Winters, a Johnson City contractor, who now serves as trustee of the Johnson Foundation, and Robert L. Finney, another old friend who later secured his position as Austin Postmaster. Nowadays, Internal Revenue, he is in charge of keeping an eagle eye on such matters as the Johnson Foundation's tax-exempt status. But rapidly, the FCC induced the reluctant rival to accept voluntarily another wavelength. KVAT, like Lady Bird's KTBC, had no trouble getting network affiliation. Mutual. See, they make that imply that it was real difficult. And there weren't but two stations, there were three networks.
Is that the Wall Street Journal article? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought there was that little inference in the live story about Bob Finney.
John Conley may have had grateful memories of 1901 Dillman. 50 he enlarged that property by selling the center to adjoining lots and tax stamps indicated the price of $500. He had bought them 5 years earlier at an indicated cost of $3,000. I don't remember anything about either of them. Those who drop in to visit Station President Deason nowadays can hear his cheerful view of competing with Johnson, his cozy recollection of how it came about. They can see two pictures adorning his office. One is a brown-toned photo taken in 32 of schoolmate London. The other is a large autographed portrait of the President of the United States. Nominated by Mr. Thomas, he never attended a board meeting. The bank in Atlanta was nominated by Mr. Thomas. Good night, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.